try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go?
How good is this, Bob?
While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right.
Wake up, everybody.
Think of what I'm saying.
The Beatles.
We can work it out.
It's Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell. You get the blessing.
We can work it out. We can work it out.
And guess what?
Life is very short.
If you live by the creed, we can work it out, it's not going to look good for you over the long haul. God can work it out. We can just tap into what he's doing, and it'll all flow like it's supposed to flow, and we'll someday pass from life to life, and we can say thank you for working it out. Don't you agree, Bob?
That's absolutely right.
Quite a segue there. That's how I tied that in.
It really is. And, you know, between the two of us today, we really need him to work it out anyway. So,
Amen. I'm glad he does work it out. So if you've messed up, it's interesting. If you've made mistakes and you feel guilty about it, guess what? Those mistakes are called sin sometimes, and God can work it out. He loves you so much, and he died to forgive you of your sins. And if you didn't sin, you just got a call from your doctor, said you got cancer, or you got a call from your banker, and he said, is there any reason you're $28,000 overdrawn and you're feeling financial pressure? No sin involved. A scripture in Romans 8 says he'll work that out too. So I think the Beatles were onto something.
Hey, you know what? By the way, we work hard on Sunday mornings at taking what is sometimes religious jargon and trying to talk in a way that makes more common sense. We don't try to use like cliches and things. And it's interesting at Highline, we always work hard at that too, because we have a lot of people that don't have enough spiritual background to understand some of the religious terminology, so we kind of explain it. But I wanted to say, since you just talked about sin, which means to miss the mark, you know, God's established the the objective or the target or the standard is really his own character and holiness. So if you can live up to that, you know, then you're in good shape. And when you don't, you miss the mark. That's what the Bible calls sin. Well, Sunday morning, we actually used an old favorite phrase of mine from my friend Tom Stipe, that's a pastor over at Crossroads. And I don't know if he coined it. He's the first guy I ever heard get up and say, you know, sin makes you stupid. So
actually, that was mine.
Sunday morning, we had the entire congregation chanting, sin makes you stupid.
You did?
That's not, you know, normal.
I knew I should have gone to church instead of playing Augusta National.
Yeah. Which is true. You know, it really is. But sometimes we, for whatever reason in our lives, a lot of times we, we're taught poorly. A lot of times we haven't been exposed to, you know, who Christ is and the things that he taught. And, some people just don't know any better. And we make very dumb decisions that get us in a lot of trouble. And fortunately, Jesus comes along and he is in the business of
working it out,
rescuing us.
Absolutely. So we like on this program, you get the blessing to bless you, our listeners, by introducing you to folks who believe everything that Bob just said and more, and who've committed their lives to the Lord. And today we got a couple of young guys, one guy, one lady, and I think you guys are great. So let me just introduce our guest today, Bob, if that's all right. By the way, Highline Community Church, 10 o'clock. Come on over there. If you're listening to this program this morning, shower up, get dressed. Sir, please, I wouldn't wear that shirt out in public you're thinking about putting on. Put on your best shirt. Come over to Highline. Belts will be preaching, and I promise you'll be blessed. 10
Great.
O'clock?
Yep, 10 o'clock.
All right, let's introduce Larry Brunson's sister, Cassandra Brunson. You know, the only Brunson I know is Larry. He played football. Wasn't the same color as you, though, and was absolutely the sweetest, greatest guy in the world. So, Cassandra Brunson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for having us. And Bob, we are so excited to be here and to share what the Lord's been doing.
Good deal. And this is Brandon Heidemann. Brandon's the president of Our Generation Ministries. So welcome along with your friend there, Brandon.
Thank you. It is an honor to be on the show. This is great this morning. Thank you.
Well, supposedly you got 20,000 people listening to you, so don't mess it up.
Yeah, we'll mess it up plenty, so
exactly.
You've got to get it right.
Leave that to us.
You've got to kind of cover us. So.
With a new title.
All right. That's right.
So let's start by just talking a little bit about your life. We'll start with you, Cassandra. Just what were you doing when you were a worthless human being and hadn't yet signed up to be on God's team? Just kidding.
No.
I told you, I'm tired today.
That's right. What were you doing when you were in the image of God but had not yet? No, just kidding.
All right. So how'd you meet the Lord?
My background.
Yeah, tell a little about your story. That's what we're trying to say, I think. So.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So a little background about me is my parents got a divorce when I was about 3 years old, and I grew up with my mom, and my mom's whole side of the family is Catholic, so kind of just through this whole world of just works and grace and just seeing that you had to work for your salvation, and so I got my first communion, and then I was in the process of getting confirmed, and during that time, the Lord really just opened up my heart, and it was like, Cassandra, listen to these people, and so just listening to these things from my Sunday school teacher, and she was saying, Cassandra, in order for your sins to be forgiven, you have to confess your sins to the priest, otherwise you're going to hell. I was like,
I never
heard about that. And then just about praying to Mary rather than to Jesus, because God would hear Mary's prayers more than your own. And so just starting to really question a lot about what really is truth, and not really knowing, never was challenged to get into the Word for myself and to know like what the Lord had to say to me rather than through other people. And so I just went home and I was like, Mom, like, I don't know if I agree with the Catholic Church. And she just kind of agreed, just with the background of getting divorced is really hard. And so I got plugged into a really solid youth group. And
now hang on before you move to that. Bob, explain to everybody that's listening the difference between the Catholic Church, what we believe, why Catholics are great, and why it might be confusing to a young lady like this sitting there thinking, a lot of rules here that are confusing to me. What would you say?
Well, at the heart of things, you know, I mean, the Catholic Church historically, you know, is the church. You know, we're here today because the Catholic Church existed to begin with, or the Orthodox Church. I mean, every Christian organization in the world, in some sense, traces its roots back to the Apostolic Church, and Catholic means universal. And so, you know, we're talking about specifically the Roman Catholic Church, but we all have roots there. And in the early days, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, taught exactly what, you know, we all of us sort of have this core of belief. At a point in time, things got a little weird. And, you know, I'm going to make a very complex, long story, very brief, to say that at the point in time, historically, where the church began to put the church doctrine over what the scriptures taught, and I, with apologies to my Catholic friends, because I have a lot of Catholic friends that love Jesus. That's at the heart of it, you know, to love Jesus and simply to really be taught out of scripture. And anytime any church, whether it's Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Presbyterians, teach something that the Bible doesn't teach, then they're wrong.
So the batting order there is love Christ. Then if you enjoy worship at a Catholic church or a Baptist church, go there. Don't mix it up, though, and love Catholicism. And, oh, yeah, by the way, P.S., you might want to think about Christ now and then.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the distinction between, you know, what would be a, you know, maybe let's, I mean, there's so much language and it gets complicated, but Protestants and Catholics sort of parted ways in the 16th century, and really initially by a Catholic priest by the name of Martin Luther, who wasn't trying to start a new church, but at the time they were teaching a doctrine that you could pay basically to have somebody else's time in purgatory shortened. And that was, even the concept of purgatory was something that was not in what we would today consider, you know, the Protestant scriptures, which have a few differences between the Catholics, but Luther found 95 things that he thought were wrong and what was being taught in the church at that day. He wrote them on a sheet of paper, nailed it to a door in a little town called Wittenberg, which is in East Germany, and it started what was called the Reformation. And the Reformation was simply a call back to Scripture as our sole authority. What the Bible teaches is our sole authority, and that the church has to submit itself under what the Scriptures teaches rather than sitting over it and being able to create its own doctrine. So, you know, there's differences, but again, at the heart of it, and now we have a lot of Protestants, by the way, that are doing the same thing. You know, denominations or specific people or seminaries that are teaching that, you know, the Scripture's not the source of our authority, that human reasoning almost has, you know, superseded that in terms of, you know, the Protestant side of things. And the call to all of us is to come back really to the essence of, you know, and there were three big things that the Reformation taught. One was the sole authority of Scripture, so sola scriptura, and salvation by faith alone in the finished work of what Christ has done, not what we do. And that's where, Chrysander was talking a little bit about works and getting confused, like, is it what I do? Is it what God's already done? And the third thing is really the priesthood of all believers, because Scripture teaches that we're all priests and we're all saints. So it's a little, you know, there's some distinctions there. And
Cleb, I'd like you to show me a little more respect, being the priest that I am.
Anyway, sorry about all that. That might be too complicated, but that was a complex question you asked, Bo. As a matter of fact, that's too complex of a question to ask on this particular
show.
Well,
if Cassandra drifts us off here to another complex topic, I'm going to ask a question again. We really want to hear you all talk, but don't take us there again, Cassandra.
Okay.
What happened next?
So thank you for explaining that. So I just got put into a youth group, but it wasn't until my senior year in high school that I really found out what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus and to be saved by grace. And one night I was with one of my friends, and she and I had just lived a lot of life together, and she asked me a question. She's like, "Chrysander, I've never asked you this before." And so we were both shocked, and she asked me, she said, "Chrysander, when did you become a Christian?" And I looked at her, and I said, "Well, I've always been a Christian, you know."
Wrong answer.
Yeah, wrong answer. Wrong answer. And she had this really puzzled face. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said that she just had been taught that there has to be a time in your life where there's been that change and you've given your life over to Christ. And my heart was so hardened. I was thinking, who is she to tell me I am not a Christian? Okay? I'm like, all in my background, I can remember God being with me and just answering prayer after prayer. But it stuck. That question stuck with me for the next couple of months, and just really diving into Scripture and just saying, "God, like, how do I know that I'm yours?" And in Matthew 7, just the story of these men knocking on the doors of heaven, wanting to get in, and they're like, "Lord, Lord, let me in, let me in." And God looks down on them and says, "Get away from me, I never knew you." And so this whole story about how these guys thought that they knew that they thought that they knew God, and God turned them away.
They're drifting into complex issues again.
I know. So then just how Satan, how just the demons, they confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior, but they're not going into heaven either.
Even more complicated.
It's my story. So then I just kept on diving in, and I was like, "Lord, how do I know that I'm yours? Like, I want to be with you for eternity." And one night, just came back from sports practice and just turned on a radio station, called it my God radio, because it only played this Christian radio station. And so they were, Jeremy Riddle came on with Sweetly Broken, and the Lord just completely broke my heart, that hardened spirit of trying to defend why I was, and just a selfish pride. And he was like, "Chrysandra, what it means to be mine as my child, give up everything. Take this gift that I've given you of salvation, what I've done for you on the cross, and just be..." Center your life around me. And so it was just this whole, just this release of trying to gain this life with him. And he's like, "No, here, I'll give it to you."
It's a gift. And so, you do have to kind of, at some point, at an age of accountability, make a decision and reach out and accept that gift. Mm-hmm. So what about you, Brandon? When did you do this?
Pull that mic into your mouth.
All right, out of the way. Thank you, Cassandra. We'll be back to you in a minute.
Wow. Well, it started... I was 4 years old on my... Well, let me back up a little bit. I was...
Don't go any further back than 4 years prior to when you were 4 years old.
Well, it gets complicated. There's one of those complicated...
We are funny people, you know.
All right. I had moved to a little town called Buena Vista when I was 3 years old. And my mom and my dad and a brand new baby little sister. And we got our life kind of going down there. And about a year later, my dad went out and... had a kayaking accident and passed away in that kayaking accident. And that really shook me as a little boy, really kind of got me thinking, what is going on? You know, I keep hearing about this God that is so big and loves us so much, but how could he let this happen? And so when I was 4 years old, it's amazing that I remember thinking those thoughts at such a young age, but it was just amazing how God started to hold my heart at a young age and said, I really want to reveal myself to you as your Heavenly Father. I want to show you how I am there, even through this broken path that you'll be walking down. Life is going to throw you stuff every day that is hard to explain, but I am there for you no matter what. And so I was 4 years old sitting on my deck with my mom, and I said, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to be in my heart. And I kind of understood what that meant, but it's been a revelation every single day since that point. And there's been times where I've walked away and said, no, I can do this on my own. But then there was a clear defining moment when I was about 15 years old. And I said, no, I see my friends walking into just a trap, if you will. I saw the life kind of getting pulled out of them as they got involved in a lot of stuff that I know the Bible is contradictory to. It said, don't sleep with someone before you're married. Don't get into these drugs. Don't do this and that. And I always thought, those are rules, but what is the benefit? You know what I mean? It seems like it'd be fun. I don't know what's wrong with that. And I started seeing just their smile start to dim and just the spark in their eyes start to go away. And it really brought me to a decision saying, Jesus, if I want to know if you're real, I guess this is between you and I at this point. This isn't something I can accept from the church. This isn't something where, oh, this is what the Bible says, so I'm just going to go ahead and believe. I guess I have to experience this for myself. So I said, Jesus, if you are real, just show me. Just between you and I, just reveal yourself to me. And it completely, completely changed the rest of my journey until this point. And so that's where I decided to say, okay, God, this is between you and I want to know you for who you are.
All right. So if you're listening today and that's never happened to you, this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. My partner Bob Belts and I are just visiting with our guests here today about how faith became a part of their lives and how comfortably it is now for them to say the name Jesus Christ, as before they kind of like the rest of it, don't say anything, but don't say Jesus. That's embarrassing. Why is that, Bob?
It, unless they're saying it in the wrong kind of a way, which yeah, seems to be many people don't have a problem doing that at all. It's kind of when you talk about spiritual things and really acknowledge who Jesus really is, that for some folks,
why does our society in so many cases think that's uncomfortable to say and embarrassing? Please call it religion or faith or something.
That's right. Talk about God, but don't talk about Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Anyway, we ought to talk about what these guys are doing, though, before we run out of time.
A good idea. Yeah. Cassandra thought this was a two-hour program, so we got to speed this
along. Yes, and I've tried to explain the Protestant Reformation in
a
minute and a half there.
If you guys are dating, I bet it's a long night out. Cassandra? No, we're not doing that yet?
No.
Okay, well, we'll try. I meant each other. I didn't mean dating, period. So you're both single, and you're getting ready to do a little Red Rocks event. So
yes.
Tell us about it.
So we are having an event on April 16th, but it is so much more than just another concert or conference. This seed started back in high school 4 years ago, just with a simple little calling, just walking down one of our high school hallways, and the Lord just really spoke into my heart, and he was like, Cassandra, there are so many of my children that are scared to go after things that I'm calling them to, and there's no reason to be afraid. I'm right here with you, leading you all the way, and this little seed just took fruition in a class called Senior Project at the high school. And so you were able to do anything that you wanted to before you graduated, and you got English credit for it. So just was able to brainstorm how to be able to spread this message and just getting this vision of what would happen if the body of Christ all around the world was to go after things that he has called us to. The world would see Jesus in such a new and vivid way. They would see that he is the only one to bring an abundant life. All those desires that are buried deep down within us, he's the one to fulfill them. And so just seeing if we're able to live that out in the details of life, that'd be really powerful and be able to bring glory back to himself, which is what it's all about. So just got this idea about conferences and just Dare to Share Ministries, how they bring together bands and speakers and different performers to spread a message effectively, and then they activate it. So that's the basis of the calling of being able to bring together bands and speakers and ask the audience, if you really believe in who Jesus Christ is, how can you not follow after him wholeheartedly? And just allowing God to open up people's hearts at the conference for what he has made each individual to do for such time as this, and to be able to activate that calling at the conference.
And Brandon, you were kind of impressed in your spirit to jump in and help her, and you've dropped a few other things to focus on this.
Yeah, I've been just so blessed to work with a ministry called Our Generation Ministries, just waking up this generation to not just hear about Jesus, not just hear from a pulpit what Jesus is about, but to come into more of an encounter with God. And that's what changed my life, is to be able to experience God for yourself, just to be blown away by his presence. That's what changed my heart. And so I saw that in Chrisandra. I saw that, hey, you want to do this as well. You want to light up a whole, I would call it our generation, but it's not just this generation. And say, hey, you know, if you came in contact with this God, you would be a totally different person. You would see who is backing you up, who gave you the desire or the dreams that you have in your heart. And so now you have permission to go after them. And so, yeah, it's been an adventure putting this event on. We're really excited. April 16th is going to be a great night. And we're just trusting God's going to be there saying, hey, he's going to give us
Tell us what's going to happen. Kind of map out for somebody listening why they'd want to go, you know, and it's Red Rocks.
Red Rocks.
Starts at 5?
Starts at 5. Doors open at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And because it's kind of a hike to get up there, recommend getting there 4, I would say 3:30 to get up there in time. We have a meet and greet with the band Switchfoot and Chasen. They're going to be there. We have a speaker, Rex Crane. He's coming out from L.A. He's just on fire, just a great guy, really excited about just following after God and the dreams that he's put in your heart. But, yeah, everything starts at 4:30 with a meet and greet with Chasen. And then the whole procession starts at 5 o'clock with Lindsay Morton. She's going to be leading some music, some worship to begin the conference. And then we'll go into a short speaker. Dale Campbell is going to be our guest, it looks like. And he's just a phenomenal guy. He's the president of Daily Hope Ministries, so a great ministry here in town. But he'll be speaking, and then we'll have Chasen and Switchfoot. I mean, right there, Switchfoot and Red Rocks, I think those are two reasons to come in themselves, but with a lot more than just a desire for a show. You know, it's going to be a lot deeper than that.
So. How many people you think might show up?
Sold out, 10,000, right?
So it's going to be a happening. It's going to be like big. A mini Woodstock, Bob, back in the...
There you go.
30s and 40s when we were kids.
With a much different spirit, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Right. Excuse me. That wasn't a good comparison.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we're igniting the church starting here in Colorado. Mm. And God is calling Colorado to wake up, to know. And so there is a special calling for this place. And so we're urging everybody to come out for this event and activate what God has put on their heart.
I'm looking at your little promotional piece here, and I notice there is a website. So, you know, if someone's listening and they really want some more information, by the way, Switchfoot is awesome. I don't know who anybody else is on your list, but that's just because I'm old. Anyway, but Switchfoot, I love Switchfoot. They are great. Mm-hmm. So the website, thecallingconference.org, is that right? And so if someone wants more info, that would be the place to go, thecallingconference.org. Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're hoping if you're listening today, you'll stop, write that down, go to that website, tell other people about it, show up on the 16th, pay your taxes on the 15th, be miserable, wake up on the 16th knowing you're going to this conference.
That's right. That's right.
And be happy.
Yes.
You can also buy tickets at itickets.com.
Okay, great. Helps.
So if I didn't have a faith and was a little flinchy about everything we're talking about, why would I want to come to this thing?
If you can picture just getting permission to say, hey, what you have inside of you, whether you acknowledge Jesus Christ or not, God has designed you incredibly, incredibly unique. And I believe with my whole heart that he's put something inside of you that only you have to offer this world. And so if you picture a seed, how it can turn into a full tree, I would challenge you to look a little bit bigger and say that tree can turn into a forest. You know, one seed can turn into an entire forest. So if you have a desire to do something bigger than yourself, then this is perfect for you to be at, because this is giving you permission to say, hey, let's, as a team, as a body, let's get together and let's go for what God has put inside of our hearts. it's worth fighting for.
Great. And if you're listening out there, and I know we, you know, friends and others sometimes call us or stop us and say that they listen to the show. I know there's some pastors out there that listen to the show and have told us that before they step into the pulpit on Sunday morning. This would be a great thing for youth groups that, you know, if you aren't aware of it, to hook your youth group into and get them out to Red Rocks on April 16th. Boy, we hope you got great weather. We should pray for your weather on April 16th. So,
yes. That's,
pray it up right now for both of them for the weather.
Lord, we just want to lift this event up to you, and we just pray for a lot of lives to be a touch, transformed, excited. You do, you know, I know that in all of our lives that, you know, we probably don't even have a clue what it means that you're able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or even imagine, as your word says. And so we just pray that that people's lives would get lit up that night. And we do pray, Lord, if there's, you know, that it would be great if the weather was awesome. And if a storm was intended to come, we would ask you maybe to move it another direction and to give these guys what they need and bless them. Continue to work in their lives as they get ready for this awesome event. And thanks for Chrysander and Brandon and just the excitement for you that they radiate here. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being on this program. Say a parting word.
That's all you.
Me?
Yes. Was first time she hadn't just fired right out.
I just, parting words is just knowing that nothing is impossible. So whatever God has put in your heart, know that it's possible.
Yeah. How tall are you, Chrysander?
5'2" and a half.
5'2" and a half. Dynamite package and bringing it for the Lord. That's a girl. Keep it up. We appreciate you guys and what you're doing, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Bob, I'll see you in a week.
I'll see you in like an hour.
Okay. That's a deal. Thanks again. See you next week. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight.